This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending immense greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. As we mentioned on numerous occasions, that the bi'ah, the environment that we live in, begins to have a great impact upon the culture, the mindset of the people. That the common practices amongst the people begin to become common practices even amongst us Muslims, that we begin to adopt the traits, the characteristics and the culture of the people around us. And thus a person needs to preserve their identity and preserve holding fast to the traits and the characteristics of Al-Islam. Otherwise we find that more and more of us Muslims begin to follow these common habits. And some of these common habits, they are sins, or even major sins that common people begin to do and find them trivial, that we as Muslims begin to follow these same practices as well. And thus we find urful nas, the custom of people, has a big impact. As we find in the fiqh of Malikiyah, that we find Imam Malik, they classified that the urf of people of Medina, the custom of the people of Medina, is hujjah, is a form of sunnah for people to implement. So if there's any difference, they'll go and look at what the people of Medina practiced and use that as a foundation, because the people of Medina were the closest people to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is what we're trying to extract, that years of living amongst people, 40, 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, even some of us subjugated for 100 years, 150 years, you find that the customs of people begin to trickle into our life and we think nothing of them. And these trivial things that some of us that we find which are habitual and common, they are major sins. A major punishment is given to individuals who indulge in such practices. We find exaggeration, eavesdropping, that we find listening to people's conversations and exploiting people's conversations. All this continues from the main theme that we've been speaking about peeping, prying, suspicion, adhan, worried about what people say, looking into what people say, extracting information about them and spreading it. This is all a culture that is common around us, that then some of us Muslims begin to follow this culture and think nothing of it, that if we just hear some information and we begin to relay it to another individual. So sufficient it is as a sin. And يُحَدِّثَ الرَّجُلْ بِكُلُّ مَا سَمِعَ, that a person narrates everything that they hear, they begin to narrate it. They don't verify it. Anybody tells them something, they just begin to narrate it without authenticating and checking it. And that's as we mentioned at Surah Al-Hujurat, all this surah full of adab and etiquettes about verification of news and information that we find. And this eavesdropping or listening to people's conversations and spreading them all follows from the path of suspicion, of being suspicious, of looking into people, over-suspicious, listening and trying to extract something that a person can exploit about another individual. And that's in today's hadith, it focuses upon three things that some of us may think that they're trivial. The first hadith speaks about a person narrating about dreams. The second about a person يَسْتَمِعْ إِلَىٰ قَوْلِ أَوْ حَدِيثِ النَّاسِ, listens to the speech of people and begins to spread that around. And a third individual is a person who makes taswir, who draws pictures, depicts images, statues, idols, relics of people, drawings of living things. And these things, as we began with, that some of these things are trivial for us. They're minor things, that these sins don't have no impact on the society of Muslims around us. But yet look how the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam described these people and the punishment for such individuals. And Ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhumah, قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من تحلم بحلم لم يراه, whoever narrates about a dream, لم يراه, he didn't actually see that dream, كلف أن يعقد بين شعيرتين, that person will be told to tie a knot between two pieces of grain, of barley, of wheat, of rice, whatever it may be, to tie a knot between these two. ولن يفعل, he's not going to be able to do that. هذا مستحيل, it's impossible. وَمَنْ إِسْتَمَعْ إِلَىٰ حَدِيثِ قَوْمٍ وَهُمْ لَهُ كَارِهُونَ, person begins to pay attention, lends an ear to people's speech whilst they're speaking amongst themselves. They're disliking that. It doesn't concern this individual. He tries to listen to the conversation. أَوْ يَفِرُّونَ مِنْهُ, or they're trying to get away from him, but this person is following them. Common language today, the media world that we find, Twitter, Facebook, searching, listening. So it doesn't necessarily mean that a person is physically present. Some people try to search information. People trying to flee away, person begins to dive and delve into trying to extract some information to serve their purpose. Subba fi udhunayhi al-anuku yawm al-qiyamah. On that day of judgment, molten brass or lead will be placed, poured into the air of the individual. وَمَنْ صَوَّرَ صُورَةً عُذِّبَ. Whoever makes a picture will be punished. وَكُلِّفَ أَنْ يَنْفُخَ فِيهَا وَلَيْسَ بِالنَّافِخٍ. And be told to give life to that which they drew or that which they depicted. But they're not going to be able to do that because that only belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hadith inside the Sahih of Imam Bukhari. Here what we want to extract is three what we may seem as trivial things or the world sees as trivial. We find severe punishment is mentioned inside this hadith. And as a symbol, as going to a tangent, that many times we mention that to symbolize a major sin. If there's kalimat of adab, of torture, of punishment, of had, inside the Quran and inside the hadith, فَهَذَا دَلِيلَ أَنَّهُ مِنَ الْكَبَائِرِ. That is a sign this is amongst the major sins. As Imam Dhahabi collects some 80 to 90 major sins. His book, his whole book is called Al-Kabair, the major sins. And many of those sins inside there are some sins, may Allah protect all of us, we may do on a daily basis. And we don't see them as kabair, as major sins. But a symbol is there, that the Quran mentions punishment for that sin, or the hadith, or there's a had, there's a law that's applied upon the individual. These are all symbols. Or the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is upon that individual. Allah is angry with that individual. Allah dislikes that action. These are all symbols of actions being major sins inside Islam. The first severe punishment, كُلِّفَ أَنْ يَعْقِدَ بَيْنَ الشَّعِيرَتَيْنِ وَلَنْ يَفْعَلَ. The person will be given the responsibility to tie a knot between two pieces of grain. What is the meaning of this? Ulama of hadith have mentioned the meaning of this is فَأَنَّهُ هَذَا مُسْتَحِيلٌ. It's impossible. وَأَنَّهُ يُعَذِّبْ. Continuously. The person will never be able to do that. So this is a kinaya, a speech inside the Arabic language. This person is going to be continuously going to be punished. Again and again and again for carrying out this action that you find that this individual is narrating a dream that they never saw. And this is symbolic inside the Quran as well, that this type of speech exists inside the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that Surah Al-A'raf. Surah Al-A'raf, the seventh chapter of the Quran, a person should read in these certain ayat inside Surah Al-A'raf, because it is between the people of paradise and the people of hellfire. What the people of the hellfire will be given and what the people of paradise will be given. In there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, لَا تُفَتَّحُ لَهُمْ أَبْوَابُ السَّمَاءِ وَلَا يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةِ حَتَّى يَلِجَ الْجَمَلُ فِي سَمِّ الْخِيَارِ. These people, the doors of paradise will never open for them. The doors of heaven will never open for them until the camel goes through the eye of the needle. This is once again kinaya, mustahil. The camel can never ever go through the eye of the needle. Thus disbelieving individuals will never go to Jannah. وَكَذَلِكَ نَجِزِ الْمُجْرِمِينَ. And likewise we will recompense the criminal individuals. This is all speech inside the Quran. We should be rasikh inside our aqaid, inside our belief. أَنَّ الْكُفَّارِ إِذَا مَاتُوا عَلْ الْكُفْرِ لَا يَدْخُونُونَ الْجَنَّةِ. Person should be firm inside that belief. Person doesn't need to be derogatory or rude to any individual, but a person should be firm inside their belief. Whoever dies upon disbelief, no symbols of Islam, nothing that they utter the shahadatain, that person is kafir. Mukhallad fi nar, will remain for eternity inside the hellfire. No excuses are to be given. For a person who's a disbelieving individual, excuses are not given here. Excuses are given for a Muslim, not for a non-Muslim. Because some of us, this is what we begin to do. We fail to understand the language of the Quran and we apply it in the wrong context. We begin to start making excuses for non-Muslims that maybe they might go to Jannah. The only one person that could be who could go to Jannah is going to be who was given that opportunity, but wasn't given to him, was given the lesser punishment in the hellfire. Was Abu Talib, the uncle of the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. That's the only individual find shafa'ah is allowed for him inside the grades of shafa'ah which are given to the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. As for the rest of humanity, the only thing if they died in the state of there was no Islam delivered to them, then they will be tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in today's world that we find most people, Al-Hujjah alayhim, the evidence is against them. Islam is far, wide, spreading. Everybody has heard about Islam. So you have the opportunity to respond to the teachings of Al-Islam. We find the second individual punishment for a person who listens to a person's speech and begins to spread their speech. What is the punishment for this individual? صُبَّ فِي أُذُنَيْهِ الْآنُكُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ You find that molten brass, lead will be placed inside the ear of this individual. The third individual who draws pictures, who makes statues, this individual, what happened to this individual, عُذِّبَ, will be punished and be given the responsibility or to be asked, blow into that which you created with your own hands, or that which you drew. These are punishments, severe punishments for these individuals that we find. And what is the link between these three types of individuals? It's forms of lying, exaggeration, and seeking attention. The person who narrates a dream doesn't see the dream, wants people to maybe marvel at their dream, to be surprised at their dream, to listen to their dream. A person who listens to a person's speech wants to exaggerate that speech, spread it inside society, and create upheaval inside society. And a person who draws pictures, maybe of their own self or other people, is to exaggerate, exonerate them, to show respect to them. This is what we can find the link inside this hadith possibly that exists about these type of individuals. أولاً من تحلم بحلم لم يراه. Person who narrates a dream and they never saw the dream. Dreams in brief are in three types of categories. رؤيا صالحة من الله سبحانه وتعالى. A good dream that a believer sees from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. بشرى من الله سبحانه وتعالى. Glad tidings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if a person sees a good dream, he should only narrate it to whom he loves. You don't narrate it to everyone. Dalil fi surah Yusuf. The whole surah is in general based upon dreams, the world of dreams. When his father says to him, Ya'qub, don't narrate this dream, even to your own brethren, your stepbrothers. So dreams, good dreams are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person only confines in those people who are close to them. Those that they love, those that they trust. Second type of dream, min ash-shaytan. From shaitan comes and plays in the mind of the individual, what they call in today's language, nightmares. That person sees. Person sees their head being decapitated, then being punished or something happening to them, scaring them. Evil creatures, images inside their dream. This is in general, this is from shaitan. And a person, they wake up in a nightmare, they should seek ta'awud and spit, and then change their direction of sleeping, and seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from any evil. And they should not narrate that dream to anyone. Shouldn't narrate it. That is the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. The third type of dream, adghathu ahlamin, inside Surah Yusuf verse 44. That these are the people, the advisors around the king, they couldn't interpret the dream. They said these are adghathu ahlam, these are mixed up dreams. Ulama have described it, mixed up dreams are what a person may do in their daily life. Person's an accountant by profession, in a sport. So they dream about money, dream about their work, dream about a sport. Mixed up dreams have no meaning. That's many of us, we dream. But by the time we wake up in the morning, as I say, most dreams are taken away. Even though we find 146 of dream is a concept of nubuwa, is revelation. But most of we don't retain it inside our minds. Then we find religious dreams. That people, they go around saying, I saw a religious dream. People who dream that it's the end of the world. Destruction. This will happen. I saw this. I saw that. The world will be destroyed at a certain time, certain area, in a certain era, in a certain year. كلها باطلة. All of it is false. Because ahkam is not based upon dreams except for al-anbiya. So even if a righteous person says, I saw in a dream that the world is going to be destroyed, or this calamity that we're facing at the moment, that some people are spreading, I saw this in a dream. We're going to be facing a virus. We're going to be facing this. The Kaaba is going to be shut down. La aslah. It has no foundation inside our deen. It could be a dream for that individual. We don't base our sharia upon dreams. Even they happen to be righteous people. Person should be taken as with a big pinch of salt. And that's if you find the extremity of people who narrate dreams that they don't see. One of the biggest calamities that we find is people who exaggerate and say, and some people may be upset about this, that they say that they saw the Prophet ﷺ inside a dream. And it's true, مَنْ رَآنِي فِي الْمَنَامِ فَقَدْ رَآنِي. Whoever sees the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in a dream has seen the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Because الشيطان لا يمثل به. that shaitan can never imitate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, can never come. But shaitan can deceive people and pretend to be the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and tell him certain words which go against the sharia. Or give them certain glad tidings which go against the sharia. And some people have made it the benchmark. If you've seen the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasalam inside a dream, that means you're a real believer. They've made it a benchmark. So they ask these intricate questions. If you've seen him, that means you're a real believer. That's not hujjah once again. There is no proof that a person needs to see the Prophet ﷺ in a dream to certify that you are a real believer in him. If you do see him, ﷺ, the people who know his traits will recognize him. That's why I read Imam Tirmidhi's Ash-Shama'il Al-Muhammadiyya, ﷺ, whereby he depicts or he speaks about all of the characteristics of Sifat Al-Khuluqiyya Wal-Khalqiyya. All of the depictive nature of his characteristics, his behavior, his dress sense, his beard, his hair, his garments, his sleeping, his eating, his drinking, urinating, defecating. All of it is documented there. So a person who reads about that will quickly, when they see, and if they're blessed with that opportunity, will recognize the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And even then, some of the ulama mentioned, person shouldn't narrate it. Because some form of ujub, being marveled, being proud, being arrogant, being that you're a preferred individual, could delve into the heart of the individual. That is the dangerous factor that's entered into some of our hearts and our minds regarding seeing such dreams. وَمَنْ اِسْتَمَعْ إِلَىٰ حَدِيثِ قَوْمٍ Whoever listens to the speech of people, وَهُمْ لَهُ كَارِهُونَ And they're disliking that, أَوْ يَفِرُّونَ مِنْهُ صُبَّ فِي أُذُنِهِ الْأَلْآنُكُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ On the day of judgment, that person who's eavesdropping, that you find the punishment as an individual. Eavesdropping, that you find going into someone's privacy to get information about a person and to add some information to it, to spread it inside society, that we find. That we find is similar inside the Quran. It mentions inside Surah Al-Jinn, whereby Allah mentions, وَأَنَّا لَمَسْنَا السَّمَاءَ فَوَجَدْنَاهَا مُلِعَتْ حَرَسًا شَدِيدًا وَشُهُبًا The jinn speak about when we went, returned back to the heavens, we found it guarded. We found it protected with flames of fire. Because according, previously what happened, that the jinn would travel to the lowest heavens. And they will listen to some form of revelation or the commandments that were given to the angels, and they will snatch from that. And they'll bring it down to the earth. And they'll mix 99 lies with it. But then we find Allah mentions, وَأَنَّا كُنَّا نَقْعَدُ مِنَا مَقَاعِدَ لِلسَّمْعِ We used to sit there waiting for information to come. But then what happened? فَمَنْ يَسْتَمِعْ الْعَانَ يَجِدْ لَهُ شِهَابَ الرَّصَدَ But now we find in ambush, the fire, that's where you find the meteorites, ulama mentioned, inside the heavens, they are there to رُجُومًا لِلشَّيَاطِينَ They've been there, placed there to be thrown upon the shayateen. So thus they can't listen to the information of heavens again. What we're trying to highlight here is that استِمَاعُ الْقَوْمِ Listening to people is like the way of the jinn. To try to extract information, the jinn go back to whom? To soothsayers, to the kahin, the person who looks at the crystal maze, the crystal globe, the crystal ball, adds lies to it. Chinese whispers in today's words, takes one piece of information, extracts it, goes beyond the limits. Thus you find that this suspiciousness leads on to what? People who delve inside these type of things of seeking information about people, about the future, about other people. What happens? It sounds extreme. It leads to kufr. This is the beginning steps that we find that people want to find out. People are always wary about what would happen in the future. What will happen to me? So from there, they begin to travel into the world of as-sahir, of the magician, of as-sihr, of trying to protect themselves that we find, trying to heal themselves. These are all elements of shayateen and jinn that we find, traits and characteristics that we find that delve them, take the person away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's in today's word, Istima'ul Qawm, digging for information amongst people to prove one's point. Many of us, we already have a presumption about a person. So we try to search some information to prove the false thing that we believe in. You know, even in a religious context, this exists. That's why many of the ulama, when they speak about taqleed al-a'ma, blind following, people have a strong, staunch following of madahib. They already have a presumption, they believe something, so they approach the Quran to prove their view. This is a form of tafsir which is inaccurate. Because a person who's mufassir the Quran shouldn't have a concept inside their mind. a ruling in their mind, then try to use the Quran to prove their ruling. Person who makes tafsir, the Quran should be open in their mind in trying to extract that which is beneficial to people that we find. So we find that seeking information to tarnish people, common inside our society. That's what we find inside our society. Everything is designed to tarnish another individual. Or if not, we take what they classify as Chinese whispers. We heard something and we begin to add something to it until it becomes a buhtan, becomes a slander, becomes backbiting at least, becomes speaking about individual without any justification. Subba fi udhuni al-anuku yawm al-qiyamah. Molten lead will be placed inside the ears of that individual. Some of us, we don't pay heed. That's the Quran mentions, and inside another place that the Quran kana ka'anna fi udhunayhi waqra. Inside Surah Luqman in the beginning, Allah mentions as if inside their ears is molten lead. Same kalimat, same type of siyaq is mentioned there. Is placed inside their ears. People who don't pay attention. The siyaq of the context of this ayah, or this ayat inside Surah Luqman, verse number 6 and going forward, it mentions, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْتَرِي لَهُ الْحَدِيثِ لِيُدِلَّ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Is related to music or whatever is linked to music. Look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes that faculties of what a person uses is going to be punished with those faculties. Person who listens to evil speech, wrong speech, vulgar speech, music, gossip, slandering, will be punished in that manner. People who commit zina will be in a state of nudity, will be hanging from their private genitals, will be tortured in that manner. People who take riba with bloodsuckers will be punished in that manner. Read the depiction inside the Quran and the Sunnah, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes that the faculties that you use to carry out a sin will be the faculties that will be punished by it. To send the message to a person. The Quran and the Sunnah should awaken the individual that we find, should give that individual some form of life. Quran mentions, يَا يُلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِسْتَجِيبُوا لِلَّهِ وَلِلْرَسُولِ إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ. You know, that's what the Quran and Sunnah should be. The ahadith and the ayat should awaken a person. That's what the ahadith is. It awakens a person, revitalizes their iman, takes them away from sinning that we find. Look at the characteristics, how basic Islam is. We don't seem to develop inside our lives. Speech of people that we find. If there's three people in a gathering together, two of you shouldn't speak in your own language. Two of you shouldn't turn away from the third person, because that could upset the third person. Make them develop suspicion that you're speaking about me. Basic etiquettes. That three of you in a gathering, all of you should converse in the same language, the same tone, the same etiquette, same behavior. Don't speak at the expense of another individual, lest it begins to create an ill feeling or some form of suspicion amongst the individual that we find. And thus we find the Quran mentions that this, as we mentioned, this is not trivial. Allah mentions, it's not a hadith prior to that, لا يدخل الجنة قتات. قتات يعني نمام. في بعض الروايات we find الكلمة نمام. لا يدخل الجنة قتات. The person who eavesdrops and spreads gossip, لا يدخل الجنة. Hadith in Bukhari. So as we began, we find it trivial. We find such severe words. Person who carries this out will not enter Jannah. Either that is for eternity, but obviously being a Muslim, they will eventually go to Jannah, meaning they will be punished. And as we find that an-namam, qattat, as ulama have mentioned, al-shakhs alladhi yastami' ila aqwali nas aw ila hadithi nas aw kalamihim wa yanshurhu wa yazid alayhi wa yanshur alayhi. And he excels upon it and spreads it inside society for the intent of fitna. Is that not something that we see today inside our society? That common practice? That we take the speech of people or words of people and we extend upon it. And as we find inside the hadith, we find that two people being punished inside the grave. And they're both being punished. And people think, once again, it's trivial. أَمَّا أَحَدَهُمَا فَكَانَ يَمْشِي بِالنَّمِيمَةِ. The Prophet ﷺ placed a plant on there, a leaf on there, and said, as long as this plant remains ripe and fresh, the punishment will be decreased for them. But the punishment will continue after that. Two individuals who thought what they're doing is trivial. Most people think it's trivial. One of them, كان يمشي بالنميمة. First one used to go spread gossip about people. يُعَذِّبْ فِي الْقَبَرِ, being punished inside the grave. وَأَمَّا الثَّانِي, the second one, never used to protect himself مِنَ الْبَوْلِ, from urine. Drops of urine would drop on his clothes, on his body. Didn't care. Just like we find how people, may Allah guide these people, how people defecate and urinate, standing, etc. that we find. Once again, we began with, sounds trivial. These are traits that some of us Muslims that we do today. We have our own way of defecating, urinating that we find. Because of this, the person who doesn't guard their bowl, their urine, if it drops on them, قَدْ يُعَذِّبْ فِي الْقَبَرِ. Person is weary, they could be punished inside the grave. And before that, the salah is batila. Because najasa, impurity on your clothing, if it remains there, it doesn't dry, it remains there on your clothing, on your body, it nullifies, breaks your prayer. This is what we're worried about. We're not worried about people around us, how they see us. If I urinate and defecate sitting down, what people say about me, I worry about standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and my prayer is invalidated. I worry about standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being punished or being punished inside the grave for doing, carrying out this action. Hammazin masha'in bin namim. Allah mentions that Surah Al-Qalam, that the person who's going around spreading gossip and slandering about people. You know, Surah Al-Qalam is a strange surah. Because some surahs inside the Quran, we don't focus upon them. But you can say Surah Al-Qalam, Noon wal-Qalami wa ma yasturoon. Kulluhu akhlaq. The holy surah is nothing but akhlaq. Wal-Qalam, the pen, wa ma yasturoon. Ma'niyan that you can extract. Awalan, al-Nubuwa. Al-Risala. Al-Wahi. Allah says to the pen, Uktub. Write what will occur from today to until the end of time. The revelation is written. The second form of kitaba, wama yashturun, is etiquettes which are written down inside the Quran. Etiquettes, how to live a life, how to behave ourselves, what to do. And so that's you find inside this surah that it mentions, wa innaka la ala khuluqin azim. Your character is so sublime and so manifest. Ahad al-mufassirin, Ibn Juzay al-Kalbi al-Andalusi, min madinati Granada, from Granada, his famous tafsir. من هذه الآية وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم استخرج, he extracted أكثر من 30 فوائد. One verse. He said from this one verse, وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم, more than 33 benefits. You can extract from this one verse about the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, about his fine character and his fine behavior. So let's read this surah. People slandering, gossiping, person who's proud about their wealth, their children, their power, their dignity. People in of the garden, riches given to them. They said, don't let the masakin come into our garden and take pluck some of the fruits. They began to whisper amongst themselves, don't let these poor people come take some fruits. What does a few fruits take away from your garden, from your orchards, from your richness? Look how bukhala they were, how wretched they were, not to share a few fruits. Then Allah mentioned about the people of Jannah. Then Allah mentions, أَفَنَجْعَلْ الْمُسْلِمِينَ كَالْمُجْرِمِينَ, are we going to make Muslims like criminals? Then Allah concludes about صاحب الحوت, about the noon, how he became what he drifted away. And Allah mentions that this could be the punishment he could face. These are all lessons that we can extract from Surah Al-Qalam. As a final part of the hadith that we find, وَمَنْ صَوَّرَ صُورَةً عُذِّبَ, the person who makes a picture, depicts a statue, draws any living thing. As ulama mentioned, any living thing that contains a soul, like human beings and animals that we find, a person draws that or makes a statue image of that, what will happen to that individual? كُلِّفَ أَن يَنْفُخَ فِيهَا وَلَيْسَ بِنَافِخٍ. The person will be given the responsibility, you said that, blow life into what you've created, and they're not going to be able to do that because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala هو الخالق. The creator is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once again, we may think that this is something trivial. Drawing of pictures of living things. Or making imagery of people. Remember, this leads to people glorifying people. In a linguistic term, making people demigods. Extra reverence that we find. Read inside Surah Nuh. وَقَالُوا لَا تَذَرُنَّ آلِهَتَكُمْ. They said, don't forsake your gods. Don't give up your gods. Don't give up these five people. Wad wa su'a wa yaghuth wa ya'uq wa nasr. Read the tafsir in Tafsir Ibn Kathir. These five individuals who were just pious people. But shaitan came and said, just make something to remember these people. Do some sadaqat remembering these people. Next generation came, began to overpraise them. Next generation came and shirk entered into people and began to worship them. So that's why Islam is harsh against imagery, against depiction that we find. Hadith in Bukhari, أَحْيَوْ مَا خَلَقْتُمْ. On a day of judgment, we said, give life to that which you think that you've created. أَشَدُّ النَّاسِ عَذَابًا يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ الْمُصَوِّرُونَ. The most severest of people of punishment on a day of judgment will be people who deal with imagery, who draw people, who make statues, who make this imagery that we find, will be severe punishment on a day of judgment that we find. The only some leniency that we find is for beneficial purposes that we find, for education or something else, for travelling or trying to find criminals or something that may exist that ulama have spoken about. As for what's become common practice, once again, we find it trivial. But what do we find around us? Plastered all over the Muslim world. Images of people that we need to show reverence to. Wherever you go. You know, this is all taqleedul gharb. This is all imitating the West. Because they have this image of over-reverence of the kings and the queens, and wherever they go, they depict their images and their pictures so people can recognize this is the ruler of the country. That's what we find in the Muslim world. That we find wherever you go, you find that this imagery is just placed, plastered everywhere. For what intent? If we're all in unison and we all agree that imagery is only there for a certain purpose, why is there an exception to the rule? Why is this all depicted everywhere? Is it possibly for the reason, not to sound political, to force people, to remind people that we are the people that govern you? Show reverence and respect to us. This is what we call a concept of demigods. That people want to be revered. They want to be over-respected. They want to be over-known. That symbols of them are there. And that's why some of these people even make statues of themselves. So, and we know that making of tamthil and statues is derogatory inside Islam. In the same hadith that we speak about, Tawheed, that the Prophet ﷺ said that, go and desecrate any grave which is beyond a handspan. In the same hadith, he mentioned, go and dismantle any statues, any images. In the same hadith, it mentions that. But why do we take a double standard inside our lives? That we're so harsh against that, we should be equally harsh against that which people deliver inside society to begin to lead to over-reverence that we find. And as we began with, all these affairs are not trivial. They're not trivial things that we think. They become common practice. Whether on that level or even inside Muslim homes that we find imagery of our family members displayed inside our homes. Hadith is quite clear. Angels do not enter into a home whereby a picture is displayed. So why do we take these pictures down when someone dies inside our families? Because why we say the excuse? Because angels won't enter into the home to pray for mercy of that person. So what about the rest of the year? What about the rest of our lives? We don't want angels to enter into our homes. The Prophet ﷺ, when he entered in his home and he saw a curtain placed inside his room by Aisha radiallahu anha, placed there, and he saw this image on there, he became so enraged, so angry. And he mentioned this hadith about these people with the most severest in punishment. He said, remove it, take it away. So any form of imagery that is displayed that we find inside our government buildings, inside our homes, inside our public places, they all need to be taken down, because there's no barakah, there's no rahmah, there's no mercy, there's no angels, there's no sakina, there's no tama'nina. It sounds trivial, doesn't it? But that's a fact. All these things need to be deployed inside our life to make ourselves living, to gain the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus we find eavesdropping and gossiping and slandering as common inside our society. And open sins. That's what it is, open sins being displayed inside our society. No individual has a hierarchy over another individual. No one has a superiority over another individual. All of us are banu Adam. All of us are children of Adam. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a few individuals a preference over another individual. So all of us, we journey together to encourage ourselves to become good individuals, to take away these bad morals, these bad practices inside our society which are influencing us to not gain the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala free us all from these bad habits and traits, and protect us not to be punished inside our graves or being punished inside Al-Akhirah, that we may fall into these sins that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then begins to punish us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring us out of all these diseases and hardships and sufferings that we're facing upon this earth and return us all back to our deen in a beautiful returning, whereby in a state of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.